Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, our guy as well. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Michael, how you doing?
Good. So you're like doing that summer tour thing again where you're going to all the stations around the state, and this means that you won't be at the game Thursday night, but we'll be doing a post-game show, right?
Part of the post-game show, but for the first time in 18 years, I will not be at a Packer game, at a Packer home game.
And you know what this means for me?
More food?
More legroom in the press box.
Yeah, because Mike sits next to me, so he's... He spreads out. Him and I, we got like a line of demarcation. I'd move over more, but then I have that pillar in my way, and I can't really see the field as much.
It'd be cool to use the Bill Michaels chair as a footstool. That's going to be awesome.
There you go. There you go. Now you're talking. Yeah, no problem, man. Hey, you got extra plugs now, so you can plug in all your different devices.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. I'm going to bring in my personal fan.
And people, you think he's kidding, but there's a little guy that follows him around and goes, "Yay, Mike." So, yeah, that's going to be really neat. So, Mike, I guess give me your first thoughts of what you took away on Friday night.
Well, you know, driving up, I heard you talking about breaking down, you know, the defensive line. And a lot of these questions we got to talk to the defensive coaches about. Next week we'll get to offensive coaches. So, you know, it's your first look at live action with some of these draft picks like Dean Lowry, who is a guy that is a defensive end. They're trying to make him go from a 5 technique to a 3 technique. So that he could be in their rotation. A lot of this goes around when they're going to lose Mike Pinnell for those first 4 games. Pinnell's been playing a lot outside, not so much at nose tackle. And Dom says you're going to see Pinnell get a lot of snaps in during preseason before he has to go on the shelf for that 4-game suspension because of the things they're going to need him for in season. They're using this training camp not only to evaluate, but, you know, let's get some things that we need to practice out of the way now, techniques to work on, a training camp as an educational, because they ain't going to have time when we're in season and trying to game plan. So we asked Dom what he thought how Dean Lowry looked lining up, you know, at that inside technique against the Browns the other night.
Well, Dean's a young guy that, you know, all we have on Dean is, you know, you saw him go out and play the wide 5 technique early. You know, different games, you know, you aren't in a lot of the first and second down Okie personnel, you know. So, yeah, we need to just continue to get a good look at Dean because we know that we aren't going to have Mike for the first 4 games. So we're going to play Mike a lot. You know, Mike's going to play a lot in preseason more than a lot of other guys.
I haven't seen any of the other guys necessarily like Brian Price or some of the others necessarily, you know, even Christian Ringo, even though he had the safety, like, you know, pushing through the next level yet. We'll see through some of the other preseason games. And then, you talked about Kenny Clark. I mean, what did you think about Kenny Clark in that game?
I didn't think he was impressive, but what did impress me was his work, the fact that he kept working. He didn't get knocked downfield. He didn't get a ton of penetration, but he's struggling right now to figure out a move, trying to figure out some way to shed some blockers. But I know, Mike, we talked about this. He's got such a lower center of gravity and such strength from being a wrestler coming out of those legs. He didn't get blown off the ball. I mean, that's the first thing you look for to see if he gets overwhelmed and get pushed downfield. You know how they turn their back and they just try to stop the flow. He didn't do that. He stalemated at the line of scrimmage, and that was impressive.
So I talked to his coach, defensive line coach, a former defensive coordinator in the NFL, Mike Torgovec, about this kid. And I said, Mike, you know, after the first couple of practices, I go up to Kenny to his locker. And, by the way, he's, like, doing media every day, you know, like for the TV people that drive across the state and they got to talk to a player.
Right.
He's been very gracious because he's the rookie. You know, he has to be out there every day. But I go to Mike and I said, you know, after the first couple of days, I go to Kenny. I said, so, you know, what have your first couple of practices in the NFL been like? And he goes, you know, it's really not that bad. Actually, you know, Coach Moore had us actually going faster in practice in college. And after his first game Friday night, I run up to him in the locker room, and I said, "Well, how was it? You know, your first game?" And he goes, "You know, it wasn't that bad, really." I said, "So how could this kid be so unfazed and only 20 years old?"
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Torgovic said.
"You know, he's a very serious young man. And when you talk to him, he's always looking you in the eye. And he takes in everything you say, which sometimes when you get younger players, that's not always the case. He takes his job very seriously for a young guy. And when you say something, he's writing it down. So I do like that about him. Likes to have fun, but doesn't joke around a whole lot. I mean, he understands, and I think he knows that, you know, he has a responsibility being the first round pick. So I mean, I like what I've seen on him so far. I mean, obviously, young guys like that are going to make mistakes, and they're going to do all this and that. But it's not from a lack of not trying. Not that's not the right word. It's not from a lack of effort or anything like that. I mean, he's very serious about his craft.
Yeah, he keeps going. I noticed that. I mean, I even tweeted it out during the game. I like the guy's motor. He just refuses to give up. And, you know, he'll figure it out. If he's got that kind of ethic, he'll eventually figure it out. I mean, sticking with the defense, though, Mike, now the linebacking core, inside and outside, some good, some bad. But, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about the pass rush. No Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, those guys sitting off to the sideline. So are they able to figure out that second line, that third line of defense and the depth?
Winston Moss, the linebacker's coach, is salivating right now. Because when we go back to a couple of years ago when he told us, when I said, "Oh, well, what do you think about Nick Perry after the last 2 years? Nick Perry hasn't shown me nothing." Remember that line?
Mm-hmm, right.
When, you know, Andy Mulumba is limping along trying to chase down Colin Kaepernick at Lambeau Field at a playoff game, and they get in field goal position, and they kick a field goal to beat the Packers at home against the 49ers, and the 49ers advance in the playoffs. And Kevin Green mysteriously resigns a couple of weeks after that. I mean, they were literally running out of outside linebackers. Yesterday at practice, I saw Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Nick Perry, and then in front of him, Mike Daniels, LaTroy Guyon, Mike Pennell, and off to the side watching these rookies we just talked about, like Clark and Lowry, and lining up also in line to take into this drill, you got Jerome Elliott and Dayton Jones, a former first-round pick. They're now working an outside linebacker. Laurente McCray, who's in his fourth year, the kid they picked up from Denver in the offseason. It goes on. Kyler Fackrell, who they just drafted. I mean, look at the depth. These are all really pretty good football players. And you talk to, and they were working, Bill, on the Rhino packages and new names, and they're working on how they're going to do these stunts with Clay and Julius. And they look like they were learning some intense stuff there on the field yesterday. Nick Perry, mm-hmm, will get more of those snaps. And you ask Winston Moss, which of these outside linebackers does he plan on using as a pass rusher?
All of them. All of them can rush a passer. From our top guys that we know about, our young guys are really improving. We still have to get McCray. McCray is going to get a good feel for what we're asking him to do, and so he has some twitch. But think about it. I mean, when was the last time there was three safeties in a game and we were responsible for two of them? I mean, Reggie comes off of that edge, good instincts. He forces a play. Fackrell gets after it. You know, he has some athleticism. And so specifically talking about the outside linebacker elephant position, I feel very, very comfortable that every one of those guys have somewhat of a skill set to be able to rush the passer, whether it's speed and power. Some might have just speed right now. Some might just have a little bit more power right now. But I'm really pleased with our group.
There's a lot of guys that, as a group, as he points out, Mike, that they've got that capability right now that they've got to be extremely happy with.
Absolutely. And then what about inside linebackers? Sam Barrington, yeah, he got back on the field, but he's limited right now. So I'm not sure if he's ready for Jacksonville yet in 3 or 4 weeks. We'll see. We've talked a lot about Blake Martinez, but Dom only had him in for 11 snaps the other night. By the way, Dom Capers, that was the first game now he's ever been using the headset, talking directly into the helmet of Blake Martinez to call some of the plays out there. And I mentioned to you during the game, I go, look at how Joe Thomas, who used to be in their dime package, an undrafted guy who fought hard, made the team, you know, in the last year or two. And then Carl Bradford, you know, the fourth round pick in his third season that, you know, was inactive the whole first year. And just, it's like, what's this guy's purpose? He never seems to break through. They played them in the second and third quarters against the Browns, a lot of snaps. And then I started thinking, you know what? I think these two guys are actually battling each other for that last spot at inside linebacker behind Jake Ryan and the other guys that they've got. And so I asked Winston Moss, I talked to Dom. He said, yep, absolutely. We want to see those guys in at least two quarters, and they may get that much action against the Raiders. They're trying to get last of values on these guys. And I asked Winston Moss, how did Joe Thomas and Carl Bradford do at inside linebacker?
Joe has really come on. I love how the way Joe fired his gun last week. And so he's been in that situation where he's just at one point fighting to make the team. Then all of a sudden he's a person that has a significant role for us, and he's growing as a player individually. And so now he's coming back, and now you can just see that there's a lot more confidence, there's a lot more comfort in his play. And so what you saw the other night versus Cleveland was just a display of that. Same thing with Carl. Carl has been on the grind. One thing I can say about Carl is that no matter the ups and downs he's gone through since we've drafted him, I mean, this guy comes to practice every single day with a great attitude, and all he does is just give great effort. And so the guy is just working at it day in and day out, day in and day out. And guess what? Finally, the light clicked on the other day. And I was so happy. I went to them. I said, I'm so happy for you and how the way that you played. So that's what you can do. Let's see this as much as possible, every opportunity that you get. I mean, just really do it. Have that confidence and that ability to go out there and continue to do what you can do, which is what we've expected for a while now. So it's taken a long road to get there. So hopefully he's arrived in the sense of I can just see from not only the game, but just in the few walkthroughs and practices that we've had, now all of a sudden it's even a little bit more confident now. And so you get the head coach show some plays where the plays that he made in the game, it gives those players, I mean, a great boost of energy, great boost of confidence. So I'm kind of proud to see both of those guys make the plays that they made the other night.
A lot of praise there for both of those guys, Joe Thomas and Carl Bradford. Mike, can you stick around for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, stick around. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk with more of Mike Clemens, talking about the Packers training camp. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light. Raise one to right now, and don't forget, coming up Wednesday and Thursday, the Bud Light House Boat of Representatives. The giveaways are going to be at Stenny's and Walker's Point and Loaded Slate as well in Milwaukee for that chance to go on that tour cruise, so to speak, down in Lake Geneva this coming weekend. See Joe Zanzola at Stenny's coming up 7 to 9 this Wednesday night. Fantastic place, and it's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. More on the Bill Michael Show next. Bill Michael Show continues. This portion of the program brought to you by the Marshfield Clinic. Marshfield Clinic, the official health care provider of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Don't just live, shine. And at Marshfield Clinic right now, they have Care My Way. Maybe they can get you something right over the phone to help you out. That's right, 844-CARE-WAY. It's 844-CARE-WAY. They had took care of yours truly and my knee issues. It's been fantastic. Can't swear enough by them. Dr. Cicchini and the whole staff there, they did such a fantastic job. And if you've got something ailing you, I hope you don't, but if you do, go to a place that genuinely cares. That is Marshfield Clinic. Go to marshfieldclinic.org. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, I did not see, well, first of all, the fact that they came right out and went after Randall, who, by the way, got a little banged up in practice today, but they went out and went after him right away. That 49-yard catch by Terrell Pryor, the former quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes, sir.
They go over the top. I just don't think Randall was expecting it. And also coming from RG3, who threw a pretty nice pass, but just looked just off the rest of the night.
It was a shot play. We had Hugh Jackson on the postgame show talking about that. Yeah, we wanted to come out and take a shot at, you know, 23. And I talked to Terrell Pryor in the locker room. He was holding his arm. Now, the MRI after that was negative. You know, that's not a very good team, the Browns. They've got a long ways to go. They got beat by a third and fourth string quarterback, you know, in Green Bay, even though it was preseason football. I mean, come on. And they were out physical throughout most of that game as they were going through the different depth charts. But I did go to Pryor, and it's he and, you know, Corey Coleman. They think that they can get something going with RG3 on that. Now, Coleman didn't even dress for the game because he'd missed four practices. But I talked to Pryor about that 49-yard play to start things off that they got on Randall. Were they going after 23?
You know, it's we've been doing that all training camp. I mean, running past guys and making catches like that. So, you know, it's a game, but it's just another day, another day in the office, just trying to just make a play. I guess we wanted to get past whoever the corner was that was on me. That's what we do, you know, a lot. Even when Corey's out right now, but he's a guy that stretches the field as well. You know, him losing him, you know, it's just I'm on the end by myself right now. So, you know, once we get our guys healthy, it's going to be even more explosive and it's going to be fun.
Not impressed by RG3. Bill, our friend Adam in Chicago, who works with Gatorade, had done promotional things and said, nicest guy in the world, comes early, very professional when we're shooting commercials, that type of thing. But the other night, he walked into a fairly empty visitor's podium interview room and laughed because, you know, he was used to the crowd that he used to have back in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's the first thing you do to get your new career started in Cleveland. And then he was asked about, you know, you blew that drive after you connect with Pryor with the interception picked off by Micah Hyde.
Yeah, I just got to throw it to Gary, you know. I can't throw it to Micah. He made a great play, and me and Gary will continue to go on the same page, just like all the rest of the receivers. And it's going to come with time, but, you know, we're all just excited to get back into practice and work on the things that we felt like we just didn't do good enough tonight.
So as good as we feel about the Packers' secondary and the depth, and especially its safety as well, now Morgan Burnett's dealing with a back injury right now, the question is, you know, what did that play prove? Anything? After Sam Shields, who's the other guy that you're going to have on the corner? And here's what Joe Witt, the defensive back coach for the Packers, had to say about that.
I mean, at this point, we have a bunch of young guys that haven't proven themselves. I have one guy that has proven himself. Everybody else need to come on, okay? So, yes, we have depth of young guys, but we have to prove that we can play winning football in this league when we're going against the winning teams. And that's where I am right now. So we just have to get better. And I don't want to praise anybody of the group because nobody's done anything other than Sam. So we all have to get better.
There you go. That's laying it out as frankly as you can possibly get. You're looking for the second-year guys to make that jump, to be able to say, okay, they're on that same level as Sam Shields, whether it's Randall or, you know anybody else back. Quentin Rollins, another one that can be back there. Boy, I'll tell you what, a guy that did not play well, and I'll just kind of get off topic for a second, Dimitri Goodson.
Oh, yeah.
Back-to-back bad plays. Man.
And then he's looking at a four-game suspension.
Yeah. Didn't play well, without a doubt. Hey, offensively speaking, we were talking about this earlier. I thought Spriggs, I think he's a tremendous pass blocker. He's got to get a little bit better run blocking, but I thought he made the reads. And at one point, you and I were sitting there talking. I watched him handle that stunt like it was like he'd been doing it his whole life and really handled the crisscross behind it. I thought he did a fantastic job.
You know, and most offensive linemen or defensive linemen, too, it takes them a year or two. Rarely do they, you know, it took Chad Clifton a while, for crying out loud, to lock down that position. It didn't for David Bakhtiari. I talk about that all the time, about how he was impressed with the first day in camp and a fourth-round pick who suddenly emerged and started playing left tackle. But we did talk to Jason Spriggs, the second-round kid out of Indiana, about, well, what did he say in his own tape in his first game against the Browns Friday night?
I think it's 50-50. There's a lot of critiques that, you know, I have myself that I want to improve on, and I think, you know, especially from college, my online coach always installed that you always find the one thing bad in the play, even if you did great, so that you can prove it and make it even better. So there's always something in every play that you can do better.
He's right. You can sit on the things that you've done well, but if you're going to be an all-around player, especially a player that's going to exceed, you need to make sure that whatever your flaws are, you got to improve those as well.
Absolutely. So I keep going back to this. I mean, the guy that's just having a phenomenal camp, actually the guy you thought that might have this camp was Jeff Janis, but not only did he struggle, now he's got a broken hand. Lord knows how long he's out, is Jared Aberderis. And Brett Hundley comes back in after being gone almost 2.5 weeks with an ankle injury. lines up, dodges a guy, catches the defense to jump off sides with a hard count. And Aberderis is not only flying down the numbers down the right-hand side, when the ball goes up in the air, he has to make – it's hard to explain it. He's going as fast as he can, but he's looking back, and he makes this adjustment with his body to come back to the ball under the coverage, makes the catch, still in stride, and then is able to still blow past the defensive back for what would have been a touchdown. He's just unbelievable right now. His technique has improved so much. And I asked him on, you know, what did he do to change things in this regular season? And also, right now, McCarthy's got these guys in the regular season schedule, okay? They had the day off, the game off. Yesterday was like a Wednesday. Today, they installed the game plan. Today, they're having a full practice. They'll rest tomorrow, have a run-through. McCarthy then and his staff will probably base on whether Rodgers plays, depending on that banged up offensive line. They got to first put together a line before they put Aaron Rodgers on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Aberderis if he likes this regular season schedule as opposed to the everyday thing in training camp.
I mean, the schedule is obviously a little bit different for us. You know, still tough. We'll get some good work in. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, with the less time, you know, in the building, less time on the field, you got to get more work in your book. So, and it's kind of nice, too, once you get film with the other team, you can start watching. You know, first game's, you know, tough because you don't really know who to watch. You don't have their schemes or anything. So you can start watching that, and that helps, too.
Your routes, your technique, it just seems like it's taken a jump so far in this training camp. Was there one thing that made a difference in your offseason to take it to the next level this year?
One is just being, you know, a little bit older, just understanding the time clock, what your purpose of the play is. It was a good offseason for me, you know, just working on my body and things like that. But I think the biggest thing is just be confidence, too. I mean, you know, going out there confident, you're playing confident, just having fun. So that helps out a lot, too.
So Jared Aberderis may not be the best athlete out there and certainly not the biggest. It's just amazing how much of a jump he's improved in his technique and the way he plays. And you saw with the heart on the free kick return for 34 yards. And Ron Zook, the special teams coordinator, said, yeah, and he did that practically without any blocking right in front of the Packers bench.
Well, I thought the biggest play for him was that quick out in which he made the defender miss and still went for, I think it was 8 or 9 yards, picked up a first down. I mean, I even said that's the way that play's supposed to run, and he had the moves to be able to do it. And I like the fact that I think it was Callahan that actually got him the ball, that recognized that the soft coverage was there. He got that quick out. And like you said, he's been a guy that's been very impressive in camp when others just have been mediocre at best.
He's making those Wes Welker moves, Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
He really is.
Exactly. So, Eddie Lacy, we got our first look at Eddie Lacy, a little bit slimmed down and looks a little quicker. I even kind of nudged you and said he looks quicker. He, on that first carry, he looked like he hit the hole a little bit faster.
And the ankle still bothers him from time to time. He has to take some rest. But, you know, I mean, Eddie is Eddie. He's not going to be a technique guy. And when you talk to Edgar Bennett, the offensive coordinator and former running back himself, you know, these guys don't tell you directly what the problem is. They'll say, well, you know, we're looking for this in the classroom, or we're looking for this, you know. So they're basically saying this guy still needs to study a little bit more and be a little bit more serious about his technique. So we're trying to talk to Eddie yesterday. I was talking to him about, you know, James Stark says he kind of has Eddie's back or keeps an eye on him. And Eddie was trying to talk to me about this when Brett Hundley, the quarterback, starts interrupting him and say, come on, let's go play some ping pong. But I asked Eddie, who's the guy on the team he counts on as a friend and as a teammate?
Who do I what? Like a teammate that's a friend? Yeah, Starks. That's exactly right. Good. I mean, he definitely pushes me. You know, we compete out there, but it's not a competition to where, you know, if he does something that I don't, that I get mad, or vice versa. So just the fact that we have that competition, we are able to compete at that point and still just remain friends, that's a big part. Yeah, definitely. See, like Brett Hundley, if you keep looking at me like this, y'all going to have some raw footage. Yeah, I ain't going to say what's going to happen, but y'all going to get it on tape.
See you on the ping pong.
Nah, fun times.
There you go. Always a fun time inside the Packers Packers locker room.
He's a funny guy. One time he sat in his locker for a long time, and I thought he was going to talk to us. And then we all turned around to talk to somebody else, and I saw him scooting out, sneaking out of the locker room. And I said, hey, I see what you're doing. And he said, you're sneaking out. And he says, if you don't catch me, it never happened.
Michael, good stuff as always. I know we're a little short on time, but great stuff, and we'll talk again tomorrow, okay?
Thanks, boys.
All right, buddy, talk to you later. There you go, Mike Clemens, and Mike Clemens, is his camp reports are brought to you by Radisson Hotel and Conference Center in Green Bay, the official hotel of the Green Bay Packers, and also our friends from McCormick Law Offices, Wisconsin's neck and back injury attorneys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.